You can all be seated, if you can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Today my message is Reasons for Thanksgiving. I had 7 great reasons to tell you. Exegesis and studying about the Greek and the Hebrew. And it's an awesome message. I mean, there's lots of reasons why we should be thankful to God. And why we have this Thanksgiving week that we celebrate in our country. What a great country that we live in, the United States of America. Those people who don't like our country, I venture to say if you go to other countries, you'll find that they don't seem as great on the outside as when you live on the inside there. And there are other countries that are wonderful as well. But I think the pluses that we have here, I appreciate. And otherwise, why are so many people coming from other countries to try to get in here? In the droves, you know? I'm not saying that there aren't other wonderful countries, but this is one of them. And I believe it's one of the greatest. And I'm glad to be a part of this nation. And Thanksgiving is a time where usually families come together and or friends or people who don't have a family are able to remember that things could be worse in their life and be thankful of what they do have. Even the poorest person in this country can find a toilet usually, even if they don't live inside of a home. And most poor people own a television. And so that is luxury in other countries. They have a roof over their head. And if they don't, there are places that will accept them if they want to go there. They choose to be homeless. That's their choice. I know a lot of times we've tried to help some homeless people that we brought into a church that we went to before. And he left the HUD housing program and went back out on the streets. And he came back to church and I said, we worked very hard to get you in that place. And now you're telling me you don't want to live there? He said, well, there's rules. So I don't want the rules. So I'd rather be out on my own. And then I was, you know, we don't like to give money to people because I used to give money to people on the street. And I said, Lord, you've given me so much. I thank you. I'm going to help someone else with my money. And I gave money to that guy. And he turned around and walked in the liquor store and came out with a bottle of booze. And I thought, gee, I don't know if they're all like that, but maybe next time I'll give food. And especially because I gave money to this little girl because she said she was starving. And then she ran across the street, gave her money to this guy. He grabbed it from her. And she said she was hungry. That's why she wanted the money. So the next time I went back to that corner, I gave her McDonald's and I said, eat it right here in front of me so no one can steal that out your belly. And I think about all these things and I say, Lord, I have something to give, but I want to give correctly. Just because I have doesn't mean it's at the right way or the right time or even the right people. Because did that guy appreciate my money if he just went and boozed up? And so now I ask the Holy Spirit, what should I do? Who should I give to? You know, we had the privilege of being part of the last semester 3 healing school last Saturday, a legacy. I applaud this ministry. I applaud this ministry for helping people like us get set free. That introduction that Pastor Joshua had lasted 2 hours, 2.5 hours. The best introduction I think he's ever had, right? Hallelujah. Because we want to be controlled only by the Holy Spirit. We don't want to listen to any other voices but the voice of our good shepherd. Amen? Amen. And instead of giving you all the 7 reasons, which I may still do, for Thanksgiving, I want to give thanks to God. That's to whom we should give our thanks. And the 7 reasons we should thank him are basically God loves us, God loves us. 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 And God loves us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because without that love, we would not have Christ, who gave his life for us so that we could have everlasting life. And people who are single and say, I don't have any family to go do Thanksgiving with. Well, do what I used to do. I lived by myself when I was in Bible college, when I was in the mission field. And I would set a plate every meal across from me. And I said, Jesus, you're welcome to come here. Sit with me. Dine with me. And then I put two other places because I can't forget the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. So I was never alone. We were a crowd. And if I had no one else to be in agreement with, I knew they were in agreement with me. And so don't feel lonely because you are a part of the family of God and the Heavenly Father, Jesus the Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit is with each and every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
So when we feel sorry for ourselves and, oh, poor me, I'm alone, that is not thanking God for bringing us into his family. That is concentrating on what the devil wants us to look at, and it's not the truth. And so if you have gone through any struggles, if you have had any challenges in your life, if you are still with any challenges in your life, I want you to close your eyes right now and think about one thing, just one thing that God has done for you. And if you can't think of any, has anyone said something kind to you or done anything good for you or anything that you can be thankful for if no one has done anything good for you? Do you have shoes on your feet? Do you have bread on your table? Well, if you're carb-free, do you have something in your cupboard? But what can we be thankful for? Let's just close our eyes for a second and think of all the things. Is there more than one thing that you can thank God for? We're going to take a moment to think on these things. You know, you can't see what I see, but I see a lot of smiles on people's faces now. Because your face is projecting the image that Jesus himself came in here today to remind you of, to remind you how much he loves you and to be here with us. And it brings joy to your heart, doesn't it? Isn't that beautiful? Of how much he loves us. How much he loves us. Amen. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for redeeming us, from drawing us out of darkness into your light, for making us part of your family, for giving us all that you are, and you made us into your image, for choosing us when we felt undeserving, for transforming us, metamorphosizing us into a new creature, filled with the Spirit of God. Thank you for showing us who we are in Christ, that there is nothing impossible for you. So all things are possible for us who believe, for we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we thank you this day, and we worship you. We're a thankful people. We're a grateful people, and we worship you. Let's just worship him. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, our Heavenly Father. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We worship you. We thank you. We praise you. We adore you. You are worthy and worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. Be exalted, O God. above the heavens. Thank you, Lord. Okay, she got tongues, a gift of tongues, not regular tongues, gift of tongues. It is a message for the body of Christ, and God gives that when he also gives someone else the interpretation, the gift of interpretation. Who has the gift of interpretation? Okay.
The Lord says, worship, worship, worship. It's a doorway into my presence. Worship, worship, worship. For you are my gates and my door to let my glory into this earth. Thus saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else have a word from the Lord? A prophecy? Hallelujah. The gifts of the Spirit are moving. He said, let two or three. So, is there another? I want to make sure. Hallelujah. I feel in my spirit someone has a prophecy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll just give a moment. Hallelujah. Okay, come on up.
The Lord of glory says to let my light shine in you. Let the source of that light be my words. That is a beacon. That is your guide. That is the rampart you all need to strive for. That beacon that will bring others. Bring others. Isn't that what I've set forth for you to do? Is to go and spread my word to others. That light needs to shine in you first, in us first. And the primary, the only source of that light is the Word. Let my Word be manifest in you so you can be the light to the world. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
When Pastor Karen said that Jesus has entered the room, it was in deep worship. I did not feel his presence. And I thought, well, if Jesus just entered the room, should I be feeling an increased anointing? Which I did not feel. And of course, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. And so the Lord spoke to me and said, well, would you like to feel that anointing? I said, yes. And I got hit with a much heavier dose of anointing that I was experiencing. And he said, would you like some more? And I said, yes. And whoop, it hit me again. This time I kind of went backward. And I said, okay, that's it for now. And I'm sitting there, and then a few seconds later, maybe 30 seconds, the Lord said, move over. And I shifted over, and he said, I'm going to stand beside you. I never saw him. I never felt him except for the anointing. And so I moved over, and I believe by faith he was standing beside me. And then he said, stretch out your hands, I'm going to anoint them. So I stretch out my hand, and there's a touch in the center of my hand, and it's just got really hot and just felt really wonderful. And then the left hand, the same. And the anointing was really great. I started to cry. And then he said, I'm going to anoint your tongue. I'm going to anoint your tongue. So he said, take your hand where I touched it. Stick your tongue out and touch it. And so I stuck my tongue out and my hand went over my face because he touched me in the center of my palm and I went like this. Touched my tongue and my crying increased. And then he said, now do it with your left hand. And I did it. And the anointing increased. And he said, now I've set your tongue free. And I pray, Father, that the anointing to set my tongue free would be available here for every single person that's present locally and on the internet. For tongues need to be set free, that we speak only words that bring grace to the hearer, that we speak just the word of God. But in the scriptures, it just doesn't talk about your tongue only. It's your tongue, your mouth, your lips. All these are involved in speech. And it's not just what we say. What we say is the most important. But how we say it, and the attitude with which you say it, all that ties into how it affects people. And so I thank you, Lord, you've set my tongue free. And I thank you, by faith, you've set the tongues free of every single person who is currently participating in the service here and by internet. In Jesus' name. And for those later on who may see this video or hear this audio and who have been praying in advance before they see it, who have been desiring in advance before they see it to have their tongues be tongues that speak truth and release grace.
Could you lead us in a prayer to set our tongues free? I just really felt led to ask you to do that.
Okay, if you'd like, just say after me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I thank you for Jesus.
He is my thanksgiving.
He is my victory.
He is my
Savior.
He's my Lord.
He's my cleanser.
He is my deliverer.
And right now, in the name of Jesus, I give him my tongue,
my vocal cords,
my mouth,
and my lips.
And I say, Lord Jesus,
by faith I receive that anointing.
Your glory
floods my vocal cords,
floods my mouth,
fills my mouth,
washes my tongue,
sets my lips free.
And I declare in the name of Jesus,
I'm a vessel of God.
I speak the word of God
in humility and love.
And my tongue
has been set free
in the name of Jesus Christ
of Nazareth,
my Savior,
my Lord,
and my King.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
I saw the presence of God over here. I've seen it so many times, but this time it was a fire. It was burning all over the place. And the Lord was saying, don't be without faith. Don't question the things you see, because my presence is here in this church, and it will be here from now on all the time, says the Lord. So don't question, is this true? Is Jesus here? Is this real? Is this emotional? Is this a crazy group? Jesus is here. I've seen it. He is here right now. I see it. He was all over the place like the burning fire. And he said he's going to be here with all of us. We are a very selected group. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Lord.
My sister never spoke in tongues before. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And another thing he says in the very, very beginning, I didn't know, Pastor, I cared that you were going to bring the message this morning. But he said in my heart that he was going to speak to the lonely people in this place. And I said, Lord, who's lonely people in this place? I don't see lonely people. I see marriage and happy couples. And he says, there's some people who have no gratitude in their hearts. And they forget all that I have done for them. And they feel lonely and they feel sad. So for those of you who feel lonely and sad, Jesus has always been there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. We praise you. We worship you for this special service today. Because we're giving thanks to him, you see the anointing increase. And there was somebody who said, you know, Pastor Karen says she sees Jesus, but I never see him. And just ask him, will you appear to me? Could you open my spiritual eyes so I could see you? Could you open my spiritual ears so I can hear you? He doesn't want you left out. Just ask him and keep asking him. Keep thanking him that he's going to do it. And I heard someone say, oh, that's, you know, is that really real? And that service, that person saw Jesus for the first time. And a lot of other people came up to me and told me, in many services, they're now seeing Jesus. Isn't that cool? He doesn't want anybody left out. Just pressing in and keep spending more time with him. He wants you to see him. It's his desire. Amen? But a lot of people felt his presence that didn't see him. A lot of people felt a greater anointing. And if they didn't, they should ask, and they will. And then you'll experience it for yourself as well. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I know a lot of people would like to share a lot of things, but we would like to have those tape recorded at the end of the service. The Lord tells us in a service to have two or three gifts moving, and so we're going to move on now. And what you have to say is probably important as well. But I'm feeling that the Lord wants to get to the message now, but we do want to hear what you receive from the Lord, because he probably spoke to a lot of people because he's here. Okay? Amen? Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 1, 12. And this is not a suggestion, but you can't really say it's a command, because if someone says to you, you better thank me, that's not really, you know, coming from your heart as gratitude, it's more obligation. But this is the recommendation of how we should be. Does that make sense? Because this is so important, that thankfulness was such an important subject to the Apostle Paul, who wrote this. The word thankfulness or thanks or some form of it is found 169 times in 162 verses in the NASB and 195 times in 186 verses in the NET Bible. Paul uses this concept 40 times in his epistles and 7 times in Colossians alone. Thankfulness comes from two Greek words, charizomai, which means grace, and the second word, homologeo, to confess or acknowledge that God has given you grace. And we thank him for that grace, because we couldn't be saved through it because of it. And so we have by faith, which is the method or how we got saved, but it's through grace. The goodness of God when we didn't deserve it. When we don't have it, he does. When we didn't have the price to pay for the penalty of sin, he provided it. And so that's what thankfulness means. And all the Psalms are filled with so many praises and thanks, like Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. I mean, in everything we should give thanks, like it says as 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So here in Colossians 1:12, it's reminding us, and it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Wow. Have you ever said, thank you, Lord God, that I'm a partaker in your inheritance in the light? How many people thank God every day? A lot of hands are going up. How many people at least thank God when you see the answered prayer? Amen? Hallelujah? How many people thank God when you're in the middle of a struggle? Well, that's the first time in a church that I've asked that question and hands have gone up. You must be ABCers. And I've traveled to many countries and preached in many churches. Some 10,000 seats or more. Not one hand went up. Except for maybe the pastor. You know, that is the best time to praise your God. Because praise stills the avenger. Because of your thankfulness, God will move on your behalf quicker. Because your gratitude. Amen? One of the reasons why we should thank God is because there's danger and consequences of thanklessness. And that leads to dishonoring God and looking to others to help you because you don't think He can. And that may not be you, but you don't want to get in that position. And when anybody has bitterness in their heart because they were wounded, the enemy does that on purpose so that we forget to thank God for the good things. The enemy wants to attack us to steal the word. And one of the things he likes to steal is joy. And if he steals our joy, he steals our gratitude. And we don't remember to give thanks. So then we start complaining about the problem instead of praising, for it has already been given to us, our solution, if we believe we've received it. So we can't let the enemy come in and let us grumble or complain or have bitterness. We need to get that out. We need to stand guard against ungratefulness and thanklessness. And we need to see everything that we should do. We should praise the Lord in it. In every little thing. And people might think you're nuts. Praise the Lord. The enemy attacked me in a car accident today. People might think you're nuts. But you're praising the Lord that you're telling the story and not dead. Hello? Right? That's God's grace and goodness. And you can pre-thank the Lord for the manifestation of your healing. You can rejoice before you see it in this realm because we already have it in that realm. We just need to bring it into being. And that's something to rejoice about and be thankful to God for. Amen? And another reason to thank God is Colossians 1, verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. And that word power means delivered you from the authority of the devil. And you now have the authority of Christ in you. And that's who you are. Do you know when an enemy goes into a territory and takes over that country, takes over that city? Everything becomes part of the new kingdom. Everything. They strip down their flag and they put up their own. They strip down that country's banking system. They take over the money and they start utilizing it for their own end. They take out the president and put in their own leader. They take out their military and put in their own laws. It no longer has any resemblance of what it used to be. So when God says that He has delivered you, delivered there means rescue. When He has rescued you from the darkness, there should be no resemblance of what we used to serve in our life because He has given us His authority. And there's no room for ungodliness in our lives any longer. Hallelujah. That should make you happy. That should make you want to thank God for that. Amen. Woo! Thank you, Lord. No resemblance of the enemy. We were made in the image of Christ. And when He transformed us into that image, I don't care what the devil throws at you. I don't care if he tries to bring up the old flag and the old banner. Say, see what you used to do. See what you did. You go, Speak to the hand. The hand of God. Because my hands are hands of God, because God's in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And another thing to thank him for is verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption means salvation from death, hell, and the grave, sickness, poverty, anything that was broken, anything that was lacking. It means saves you and restores you in your relationship. That redemption is complete. A package. Hallelujah. You ever wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for my package. My godly package. Hallelujah. And through his blood, see, people don't understand the power of that blood. It washes away. It doesn't just clean, and it doesn't just cover over. It completely annihilates sin. It is eradicated. And so when the enemy brings back to your mind something that you did before and tries to accuse you of it again, you say, excuse me, that is in the sea of forgetfulness and I'm not fishing it back up. Amen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's gone. And the forgiveness of sins. You know, Pastor James ministered last Friday on being worthy to receive the forgiveness that was given us. And some people have a challenge with that. They hear it here in their brain, but it didn't get to their heart. And so to receive their healing is a hard thing because they somehow think punishment, or they're not worthy enough to receive. I'm not good enough yet. Or I didn't say all my prayers today because I was too busy. Or, you know, I snapped at somebody. Or, you know, I love God, but I'm not sure that I'm following God exactly the way he wants me to. So I need to get good enough for God to bless me. And I can't receive of the goodness until I'm good enough. And these are lies the devil will spring on people. Because God says you are good enough that he chose you. He wants you to be his daughter and his son. And he wants you to be part of his kingdom. And you are good enough that Jesus said, I'm going to give my life for you and you and you and you and you. You're good enough because of love. Not because of what we do, but because he first loved us. Amen?
Amen?
That's the goodness of God. And we need to be thankful that he chose us. And we need to be thankful. And when we say, I don't know if I really was good enough when I did something, you're not receiving his benefits. You're rejecting it. And you're rejecting what he did for us. Without realizing it, because the enemy taught us to think that way. So we're renewing our minds to be a thankful people in every area. I want you to say these words. I thank God
that he made me
in his image.
And everything God makes
is good. I'm good enough.
And I receive
my redemption benefits.
My sins have been forgiven.
They've been paid for.
They're in the sea of forgetfulness.
And devil,
look at the hand of God.
Stop.
Lying to me.
Stop telling me.
I'm not good enough.
Because it's a lie.
And I'm full of goodness.
And I receive the goodness of God.
And all his good benefits right now.
Including healing.
Prosperity.
restoration.
Restoration.
I thank you, God.
I thank you, God.
That these are your good gifts.
That
you've given to me.
That you've given to me.
Because you love me.
Because you love me.
And I receive it.
And I receive it.
I believe that I've received.
I believe that I've received.
It is mine.
It is mine.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I just saw a lot of demons fly off of people. I think they're leaving in the droves. Hallelujah. All those demons of unworthiness, I think, just got out of here that were on bodies. No more. No more. They're not on your mind. God is in control of our mind. We have the mind of Christ. I declare that every day now. Hallelujah. Hey, isn't this fun?
Yeah.
Let's see what else we could be thankful for God. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. Let me tell you something. People say, hey, you know, Pastora Karen, you've got a very leadership personality. I bet in your family that, you know, you just take control of everything. No, that's not true. I'm number two in my family. So number two is compliance. Okay? In the Chinese family, number one is big. And so we respect our elder sister. She's been like a wonderful caretaker when we were young, and she does a great job. And we look at her advice, and we support her and assist her. The firstborn male in a Chinese family is even greater celebration because they normally would be the heir in the old times, the firstborn son. Okay. Now we're modern and it's just firstborn or whatever the person has in their heart, right? And God looks at you as a co-heir with Christ Jesus, that Christ Jesus was the firstborn of a glorified body. He came to be human, to rescue us, and change our entire race. Because Adam blew it. Adam was going to get that glorified body, but he couldn't, when he sinned, partake of the tree of eternal life. Because then sin would be eternal. So God's plan was for Jesus to be that second Adam, to take that place and take back the keys that were stolen from Adam, to take dominion over the earth, the things under the earth, and the things over the heavens. And now we have that authority. Those that are born again, those that know who you are in Christ, those that want to walk in that dominion and learn about that. But you are all firstborn. Jesus is the firstborn fruit, and he treats you like the firstborn. An heir is in the Old Testament, that firstborn. And see, of this human race, we are going to receive the benefits of the heirs of salvation, the benefits of Jesus Christ, co-heirs with him. He is the only heir of the Son of God, as the Son of God, the heir of God the Father. The only rightful heir is Jesus Christ. You know, he could have said, you're sub-heirs. Delegated down to us. But he said, co-heirs. Wow. What a privilege. If Donald Trump, who just revealed his tax standing and his worth, was it, James, $8 billion? How much? $8 billion of net worth. And they had a special on TV that they were interviewed, the Trump family. And they said, the interviewer said, you know, Mr. Trump, when you are running for presidency, if you become president and have to live in the White House, to many people, that would be a step up. But with the gold leaf walls in this incredible residence you have, would that be a step down for you? And, you know, for the first time, I didn't see him put foot in his mouth, you know? And he didn't, like my husband says, a lot of leaders fly off the handle. And instead of ready, aim, fire, it's ready, fire, aim, oop, take foot out of mouth, damage control. He said, the White House is a special place and it would be an honor to live there. I went, Trump? Well, that's kind of a Karen paraphrase, but it's kind of basically what he said. And I said, wow, somebody's coaching him. But he did well, you know what I mean? And then after the show was over, the Lord said to me, so why are you living below my means? I went, what? He said, I am the King of Kings. I own everything in the universe. I have all the riches and the wealth so that you can take dominion over the area that I need you to for the end time. Why are you not receiving what I have for you as my heir? I went, oh, I repent of that right now. I confess that sin. My mindset was I had to really work and work and work. And he was saying, no, by his grace. By his grace, it has been done. By his grace, he has already provided all those things. And can you imagine if someone discovered that they were a Trump heir, you know, like Tiffany Trump is the daughter of Marla Maples. She has a different mother than the other children. And what if she never knew what her last name meant? What if she was groveling and decided to work at McDonald's and not know that she could have a good education so that they could earn in life? You know, Donald Trump didn't hand his children money. They had to start at minimum wage working in his company. They had to earn the right to move up the ladder like everybody else. They had to prove themselves. And so they appreciate hard work and they value the money. So it's not that God doesn't see that people are wanting to work, but they have to be taught how to manage the wealth. Because many people that win the lottery, they end up in greater debt than what they had previously because they didn't know how to manage it and they spent more than they had income. They didn't invest that money and they didn't have a constant stream and it was just all squandered. Then we see a lot of other wealthy people who their children have never been able to work one day in their life. They were just given millions and they were given gold, platinum credit cards or whatever. And they just buy $5,000 purses and $8,000 shoes. And they don't have any skills. They don't have any purpose in life. And then they go take drugs and then they die. Or, you know, a lot of wealthy people, they're on their fifth marriage or something, you know, and they didn't learn. I know a lot of Christians have remarried, but the goal is to learn and create a godly marriage, right? And that is more wealth than any gold could buy. Knowing that we're saved, knowing that we have a good family in God, whether or not you're single or married or have living relatives that you get along with. No money could buy the treasure that we have as engrafted into the family of God. And that is something big to be thankful for. Firstborn. Firstborn rights, even though Jesus Christ is the only firstborn, we have the same inheritance. Wow. After you all repent after church for that, and thank God for what he's already given you. If you can wrap your mind around that. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, another thing to be thankful for is verse 16 in Colossians 1. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and what? For him. That means they were created for you because you're his heir and he wants you to go out there and utilize what he's given you for his kingdom to take back from the enemy what was stolen from us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 17, and we thank God that he is before all things and by him all things consist and that he is the head of the body. And so you are the head of your area, your family, the ministry God's giving you, whatever, you are the head and over Satan. Just like Jesus is the head of us, the body, you represent Jesus, okay? And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He's the first fruit of being raised from the dead. He's the first fruit of showing you you don't have to die. He's the first fruit of telling you that death, hell, and the grave had no place in your life, and you have authority and dominion over it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, verse 19, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And verse 21, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you and you and you and you and me and all of us that are born again, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Woo! You're holy. You're blameless because your sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. And verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, even in the end times, even when people are threatened to be killed, and you say, I will never give up my allegiance to Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, whereof Paul was made a minister. Hallelujah. Which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Every creature. Somehow God preaches his message, because life is God. God is life, abundant life he wants you to have. So everything he made knows him. Everything. But it's the God of this world that blinds people's eyes and try to make people forget and become ungrateful and thinking that they have to seek man and be thankful to what man has done for them, instead of know the creator that has. Those of us that are so blessed to already have the revelation that it is God that is our creator, that we were made in his image, that God has brought us up and redeemed us from darkness unto light, that God has made us to be co-heirs with Christ, his firstborn, that we can follow Jesus, who came out of the grave and stayed alive and is still alive, the only God of gods that is alive and can talk to us and can appear to us and can minister to us and can give us everything that we need. But he says, now I've already given it to you. Command it. Command it. Send the angels of God. I've given it to you. Don't ask me anymore. Just command it. I've already given it. Thank God that you are an heir and can command that which is of God's to come into your hands, the righteous, because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, so that you can take dominion on this earth for him. Hallelujah. Glad I wore my happy shoes today. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we're a thankful people, and we are going to jump up and thank Jesus for all this stuff that he's done for us. We're going to thank him. Stand up wherever you're at and let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for being here with us today. Thank you, Jesus, for being here with us today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Woo! Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Well, you can have a seat if you can.